be talking about Malik and our expectations going into this season.
Willis.
TD, pump the brakes, man. Just pump the brakes. Okay. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another pre-recorded episode of the Dolphin Collective. Like I said, I got all the guys here today. This is probably going to be a thing as we go forward. We're going to be going back. I think next week we start going back to three episodes a week. So you're going to get two live, one pre-recorded. Got a lot of content for you guys. And then we hit training camp and all that other stuff. So we got a lot for you. But first, got to shout out them sponsors. Obviously, we got Prize Picks, which we love to use. You play $5, you get 50 instantly using that promo code HMA. They got the World Cup happening. I think the final, when is the championship? It's this weekend, right?
Sunday.
Is it up in my neck of the woods? Because right now it's real smoky. Yes. Up here.
MetLife Stadium.
It's real bad.
Why is it smoky?
There's fires in Canada.
Canadian wildfire.
Yep. It is real bad up here. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, go check them out. Use our promo code. Get yourself $50 instantly in your lineup. And we also have SeatGeek. You use the promo code COLLECTIVE10 and you get 10% off your tickets. We're going to listen to Past Doug. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Go get yourself some tickets on us. It's a good time, fun time. So, who's starting? I did my homework. I could start if you want, but essentially what we're doing is setting a standard for Malik going into the 2025, but we're in 2026. And kind of what we're expecting of him. I think we're all taking into consideration the weapons, but we're also all in agreement that if we want to get out of that whole little funk of being mediocre, we kind of need the quarterback to play like these other ones do with the weapons that we have. So
the other ones do define these other ones.
Josh Allen, Drake May, Patrick Mahomes. Who else? Who else?
Lamar Jackson.
My bar is there.
Yeah, I know.
Like TD said, man.
Dak Prescott.
If they're not playing to that standard, you got to go get yourself one. You know, how long has it been? 22?
I don't disagree with you. And I think I will start the video. I remember back in the day, when I went to the Senior Bowl, I remember seeing Jalen Hurts the year that Justin Herbert. I keep calling Ryan Tannehill because that's who I think about when I with Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa was in the draft, and there was Jalen Hurts. I remember him walking the halls of the Senior Bowl and looking at him and thinking to myself, Tua's backup. I wonder if he'll be a good backup in the NFL. Well, he didn't turn out to be a good backup. He turned out to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And this is a guy that was found in the second round. So if teams are out here finding starting Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the second round, there's no reason why Malik Willis cannot replicate that. And for me, I think his style is very comparable to Jalen Hurts. And that's probably where I would start in terms of quarterbacks that I would compare him to. And my expectation is Jalen Hurts' second season, which is going to be his first full season as a starter, which this is going to be Malik's first full season as a starter. Jalen Hurts completed 61% of his passes threw for 3,144 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 7.3 yards per attempt, 209.6 yards per game. He had a lackluster 87.2 passer rating, which to me is below my expectations and standard for a starting quarterback in the NFL. And he led his team to an 8-7 record. Obviously, that's a young quarterback that's still trying to figure out defenses, still trying to figure out, develop chemistry with his weaponry, speed, adjust to the speed of the game. But here's the equalizer. Here is what made Jalen Hurts dynamic, gave him some promise. He had 784 rushing yards on 139 attempts, 10 rushing touchdowns. He averaged 52.3 rushing yards per game. And that double dual threat, which is the same dual threat that Malik Willis supposedly possesses, I don't know because I haven't seen him actually run. We'll see when training camp gets here. We'll see when the exhibition season gets here. We'll see when regular season gets here. If you can get 260 yards from your quarterback rushing and 200 rushing and throwing, I think you got something to work with there. And so that's what my expectation would be from Malik. Throw for 210 yards, run for another 50, you know, be on the positive side, 25 total touchdowns, and we're good to go.
Okay. Anyone else want to go, or you want me to go?
I'll go real quick. I want to make a couple of quick points over here. Yep. And I know, Omar, you couldn't resist. Hurts was on a team that won the Super Bowl, was on a team that went to the Super Bowl, played very, very well in both Super Bowl games. Outstanding. Can we not pretend for a millisecond that he wasn't the beneficiary of a stacked roster around him, that there are 20 quarterbacks around the NFL who probably might have gotten the same team results? That's number one. Number two for me, yes, TD, I said what I
20?
Said.
20? 20?
Okay.
Would two have gotten the results?
On that team, if they didn't ask him to do too much, he very well might have. Absolutely. Again, because Tua, as I've said all along, if everything around him is great, he's gonna do his part. Anyway, I think he would have done his part with the Eagles, other than the tush push, which is also a big factor in Hurts' play. Stylistically, for me, I'm thinking maybe more Jaden Daniels than I am Jalen Hurts. But to expect Malik Willis in his first year as a full-time starter to be Jaden Daniels in 2024, I don't think that's quite fair. You mentioned 50 yards rushing per game. That projects 850 over a season. That's some pretty major numbers. To me, give me 600 rushing yards for the season. That would be very solid. The passing, to me, the standard needs to be at least 2-1 TD to interception ratio, ideally 2.5-1. And then the number of yards, if he flirts with 3,000 yards, to me, that would be a very good season.
TD, you want to go?
Yeah, my expectations for Malik Willis are semi-aggressive. I need 3,400 passing yards this season. I think that's fair. You know, Omar made a point of like first year expectations. I need you to act like you done been in the league and this is your fifth year just doing it. Just some normal good quarterback numbers. 25 passing touchdowns. That's what I want. I want 25 passing. And I need 13 rushing.
25 with this weaponry.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. With these tight ends, Dulce is probably going to have about 6 this year or something like that, you know. But 13 rushing touchdowns. I need you to find the end zone. If you watch that Baltimore game that Allen put people on X. And, yes, I was watching it. Yeah, that was two rushing touchdowns in that game alone. But 13 is what I need from him on the season. Nine interceptions. I think that's fair. Let's avoid the double digits. But you know what? First year on it, we can put you at the higher end of the singles. 750 rushing yards. That just means you're going to be dynamic. Now, with 3,400 passing yards and 750 rushing yards, that's a dynamic quarterback. And 66% completion. That 61 got to go. He is a high efficient quarterback. He's taking what's in front of him, what the defense gives him. And like y'all said, what you've seen in Kim, you like to see him take more risk and chances. But whether he does or not, he's going to be efficient with the football. That's just in his game. He's going to take what he sees in front of him. And I need three clutch games. I need three. You ain't even got to win them, but I need you to be clutch when you got the ball in your hand in those moments. I need three of them. You know, you probably going to have seven opportunities this season. Just give me three.
We talking about fourth quarter games?
Fourth quarter, 5 minutes left. You down by five. Hey, go get that towel. Even if you lose because they got 2 minutes left and they go in, you need to show up in your moment. You're probably going to have seven of those moments this year, and you need at least three because another guy who shall not be named, you know, it was hard to get one every 20 times. But anywho, and last but not least is the flip side of that. Don't be the reason we lose the big games. See, if we lose this year. It's going to be a team effort, but don't contribute to it. Don't be one of those individuals where we lose and it's close, but you threw two picks early on. Regardless if we climbed out of the hole or not, you're the one that dug it in the first place. Don't be that guy. And those are my only expectations for him.
Can I jump in for a second? Did you really say 13 rushing touchdowns?
Yes, I actually said 13 rushing touchdowns.
Okay, let me point out to you that last year, for example, the leader in touchdowns for quarterbacks was Josh Allen. We all agree we'll get touchdowns that other quarterbacks won't because he's 6'5", 245 pounds, and he will get the bulldoze quarter when you're a touchdown run, which Malik Willis won't. The next leader in touchdowns for quarterback last year was Jackson Dart with nine.
Nine.
So okay. I think 13 is a little ambitious, if you ask me.
It ain't that ambitious to me because Malik Willis ain't played 17 games last year. He would have showed you then.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah. Very ambitious.
Let me ask you this. How many rushing touchdowns did he have last year?
Who?
Malik in his few games.
He went late in his three games. Okay, hold on. Let me check.
Yeah, how many rushing did he have, Alan?
He had two against Baltimore. Somebody's
two in one game?
Hold on. Relax. Come on down. He had two in four games.
Four games or three games?
Four games.
Four starting games?
No, he started only one game last year.
You sure about that?
Yeah, the stats right in front of me. He started two in 2024.
Yeah, Alan, we're not talking about cleanup time. The one game he started, how many touchdowns did he run in?
So you're going to extrapolate because he had two in that game, he's going to get 34 in the 2026 season? Sure.
I said 13, Alan. That's all. I said is 13. Okay. But in the game he started, Alan, he had two touchdowns, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm saying that 13 rushing touchdowns is very, very ambitious. Go ahead, Doug.
All right. So I went and I looked at some rookies.
Rookies.
Yeah. So I was like, let me look at some of these rookie quarterback seasons and see if I can equate what I need from Malik and those. I also looked at past Dolphin quarterbacks. So I was like, all right, let me see what I could do there. So this rookie quarterback had 3,568 passing yards. He had a 69% completion percentage, 25 passing touchdowns, nine interceptions, and he had 101 passer rating. Not bad. He rushed for a lot, though. So I don't know if he's going to rush for 891 rushing yards. I don't think it's out of the realm of possible, but I'm not putting that much on him. But he had six rushing touchdowns, and I don't see that being, far-fetched for him.
And that about Lamar Jackson?
No, man, that's
Jaden Daniels.
And I was like, let me look at the roster he had. Now, he had Brian Robinson Jr. He had Noah Brown at wide receiver. He had Scary Terry as the other receiver. But then he had, like, John Bates and, like, an older Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz only had 653 yards. He had 1,000-yard receiver in Scary Terry. Outside of that, it's kind of – I'm not saying it's completely comparable to what Malik has now, but you can kind of look at it and say, all right, that doesn't seem – out of the realm of possible or an expectation to have. And then I looked at like Tannehill's rookie year. He had 3,294, 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 76.1 passer rating. He rushed for 211 rushing yards, two touchdowns. And then Tua's best year was his first year with McDaniel, where he had, outside of 2023, 3,548 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, eight interceptions, 105.5 passer rating out of 13 games. So
why did you not take Tua's first full year as a starter as opposed to his first year with
me? Because what I'm like, what I did was I tried to compare like some of the best, right? Because what Tua had in 2022 was Ryan, what he had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. And then I looked at what Jaden Daniels had, how it's comparable to what Malik is going to kind of have. And what I'm, my final point is, you look at these three quarterback plays and two of them being Miami Dolphins, they all got roughly around over 3,000, 3,200, 3,500 passing yards.
No disrespect to Malik Willis and what he looks like or what he can be. But I remember watching Jaden Daniels in that joint practice. Yeah, they're not the same quarterback. Sorry. They're not even close hold to on, the same hold on, quarterback.
Pump the brakes because I wasn't done.
All right. Yeah.
What I'm saying is I looked at these three guys, right? Because you have Tannehill who, you know, had the strong arm, didn't have the great deep accuracy, had some mobility, bad pocket presence, yada, yada. Jaden Daniels, we all know how he played. They went to the NFC Championship game in Tua. Not mobile, had the arm, but he had the weapons. And that's why I'm saying, like, my standard for Malik in this season is roughly around 3,500 passing yards, because I look at the three comparable quarterbacks, they all either exceeded that or got around that. And then I agree with TD when it comes to the touchdown interception ratio. Give me like 20 plus and around 10. I would like lower than 10. And then I could definitely see six rushing touchdowns in this season. I could definitely see that happening. And then, you know, I could see him rushing for like probably 600 yards. So that's where
the only problem I have with your comp, Doug, is number one, he's not Jaden Daniels, who is a big timer. And then the comp with Tua doesn't work for me because Malik Willis doesn't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think
would you say that Malik is more dynamic of a player than Tua was? And can he make more out of less than Tua was?
I think the athletic ceiling is higher. Yes.
Yeah. So that's where
ceiling is higher.
The athletic ceiling. You know what?
Athletic ceiling. Okay.
Ceiling, period.
So that's why I brought that year up, because Tua had the weapons, but Malik has the intangibles. So that's why I brought that year up.
What intangibles are we speaking of? We're speaking of his ability to run. Is that it?
His arm strength.
Arm strength, okay.
He has a way better
off script plays.
Yeah.
Okay. The ability to make extending plays.
Throw across his body, you know, do the things that, you know, Tua was
throw past 40 yards late in the season.
All right. I like that late season.
I'm not falling off.
He can call a play in December.
He can what?
He can call a play in December.
Wow.
Can I bring up a different topic here related to Malik Willis? Kind of like from a fan standpoint and also from a reporter standpoint, fill in the blank and explain why. Malik Willis is the newcomer the Dolphins have had who I've been most anxious to see perform since.
Oh, that's such a good one.
That's a good question for you guys.
That's a very good question.
You mean just that quarterback?
No, any position.
Tyreek Hill. Okay. I would say Tyreek Hill, because we all saw how ridiculous Tyreek Hill was. You know, future Hall of Famer. You know, the guy it's Tyreek freaking Hill. And now we see the glimpses of possibility with Malik that is I will be surprised if training camp doesn't have tons of fans there just to see what Malik can do. Like, there's so much promise to see what he could do. Now, can he
I really hope that he practices at a different level than we saw. I really, for the fans' sake, I just really, really hope that what we saw was like him adjusting and learning and growing, because if it's not, ooh, it's gonna be rough.
Rough for who, Omar? Just rough people.
For the fan think, base.
Yeah, for the fan until they see him on Sunday when he can actually run and get hit. And
okay, that's right. Fair. That's fair. And if he does have a gamer kind of prototype build where he does not play his best until game situations, and great, cool, as long as he's delivering in the game. But, you know, I know you guys are going to be saying it's practice, but there was an efficiency level to his practices that just it set a standard for me that's going to be very hard.
That amounted to what in a regular season?
It amounted to absolutely nothing, especially in December. And you know, I guess my new goal should be, hey, I want Malik Willis to be healthy in December, because, you know, I can't sit here and say that I expect him to be and deliver efficient quarterback play. Not in year one, not with these weapons.
Yes, that's a part of Malik too that we don't talk about. We like a lot of people just automatically assume he's just going to be healthy. But even in that Baltimore game, which he ran for two touchdowns, he was actually bringing the team back, but he got hurt in that game. And he missed like almost the entire fourth quarter. He didn't even play. And then when he was about to come back in, he went on the sideline, dapping his teammates up like, I'm ready to go. But then Derrick Henry ran a touchdown in and it was out of reach. So the coach kept the backup in. But so, he got to stay healthy too. He has to be able to stay healthy too. Yeah. So
that's the biggest knock with our quarterbacks is, you know, since Tannehill, you know, we went to the playoffs, but he got injured. And then the next season he got injured. It's like they just got to stay healthy, but it's always
Matt Moore led the team to the playoffs, for the record.
So. Yes.
No, he didn't. No, yes, he didn't. Tannehill
did. Matt Moore delivered the wins that
Tannehill was like 8-3. Tannehill was like 8-3 and Matt Moore finished it off in the season.
If Matt Moore didn't beat Buffalo, we weren't making the playoffs.
Tannehill was 8-5. The other thing about Tannehill, though, because you point out 2016 and then 2017 and was out for the whole year, was it? Did he miss a start in his first four seasons?
No, durable. It was
very durable.
Very durable, and that's why, like, when it comes to all-time quarterbacks, Miami Dolphin quarterbacks, I give him the nod over Tua because of his durability, and Tua had no durability.
Yeah, because Skylar Thompson led us to the playoffs. You can't hide your cake and eat it.
Here's the difference.
What you want, Omar.
Whoa.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well played.
Because here's the difference. Matt Moore's play in Buffalo.
Thank you.
Skylar Thompson's play against the Jets. Who got into the playoffs?
Hey,
he got 200 yards against Buffalo.
Yeah, hey, that was a winning UN game. That was a win.
How did Skylar Thompson play against the Jets? Like, let's be honest.
And Jason Sanders kicked a really long field goal to win.
What was it, like not three field goals or something like that?
He got 9-6. He got the W.
If Matt Moore didn't get concussed and the team wasn't wearing the wrong cleats to start the Pittsburgh game,
never
they might have had a chance in that playoff game.
Grandma had one, she'd be grandpa. And if my aunt had one, she'd be grandpa.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed this pre-recorded episode talking about Malik Willis. Comment below. Give us your comps. Let us know who you think you could compare Malik to for his first year as a Miami Dolphin. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fence Talk, youtube.com/TD Fence Talk, and Roundtable Sports, and myself, youtube.com/Doug Lee Durong. We'll see you Monday.